everyone. I'm Sam.
And I'm Sean. And this is Key to the Case.
Thank you all for joining us once again. We have a bizarre disappearance to discuss that has been on my mind since I heard about it many, many months ago. So I'm glad we're finally covering it. Let's get into today's case. Virginia Douglas was 69 years old at the time of her disappearance in 1988. Virginia lived with her husband of 46 years, Frank, in Lexington, Massachusetts, which sits just about 25 to 30 minutes outside of Boston. Frank and Virginia had three grown children, two daughters and one son. Their younger daughter was a flight attendant, and she had been living in their home for about 2 years at the time of Virginia's disappearance. She initially moved in with them after she went through a divorce. Their son lived in Florida, and the elder daughter was actually estranged from Frank and had been since the early 1980s, although she hasn't revealed why they were estranged. Virginia is described as an intelligent, warm, and caring woman. Although she was getting a bit older, she was still very much of sound mind and she was in shape. Frank, retired vice president of New England Merchants Bank, often spent his days playing chess or playing tennis with friends. Neighbors recalled often seeing Virginia and Frank taking walks around their neighborhood and tending to their yard. Fast forward to September 1st, 1988, which was Labor Day weekend. It was a normal day at home in Lexington for Virginia and Frank. The couple was outside and Virginia was watering their grass. Frank stepped inside and locked the back screen door on his way in out of habit. Well, shortly thereafter, Virginia attempted to enter the house only to discover that Frank had locked the door. And according to Frank, Virginia was quite mad about this.
Why would he lock the door when he knew she was out there? Like, had he done this before? Was this a habit?
Yeah, so I think that's part of why she was upset. And it was just out of habit. That's how I understand it. He came inside and just locked the door behind himself without thinking about it. And he explained to Virginia that he didn't do it intentionally, but Virginia was angry and said he did do it on purpose. And like you asked, Frank had done this several times in the past. So maybe Virginia had enough of him accidentally locking her out, and it just kind of came to a head in that moment. This argument, though, is interesting to me because I've done this exact thing to you by accident where we're both in the backyard. I come in and lock the back door out of force of habit, but you've never gotten angry at me for it. If anything, it's just mildly annoying.
Yeah, I think I was just more surprised than anything. I don't think I was all pissed off or annoyed about it. I just wanted to be let back in. So it was more surprising than anything because I expected it to be unlocked and it was locked. But in my opinion, it's nothing to get mad about.
I know. And the thing is, I don't know if once Frank went inside, it was hard to get his attention to open the door. That's possible. With the size of their house, maybe if he went upstairs or something, it would be hard for him to hear her call for him. And to be fair, Virginia's not here to share how she felt at that moment. Frank felt bad about what he did, so much so that he decided to take Virginia on an impromptu vacation up the coast to Bar Harbor, Maine. Consider it a peace offering. Bar Harbor is a picturesque coastal town located on Mount Desert Island, and it's a gateway to the mountains and cliffs of Acadia National Park. Bar Harbor has a small number of permanent residents, but it's a popular vacation spot. Bar Harbor is about a 4.5 or 5 hour drive away from Lexington, where Frank and Virginia lived. So this trip could very easily be completed in one day, but they opted to span it over 2 days.
That's a little odd to span a 4 hour drive over 2 days.
I know. I definitely thought that was unusual. And I don't know if it's because, based on what Frank said, they departed their home around 8:30 p.m., so maybe they didn't want to be out driving super late. And this was after they ate dinner on September 1st, so the same day of the argument. And then they drove for about 2 hours until they reached South Portland, Maine, where they stayed in a motel overnight. The next day, they ate breakfast at a restaurant called Friendly's, and then they continued their drive to Bar Harbor. I'm not sure what time they departed from South Portland, but I would estimate it was in the afternoon, probably around 3 or 3:30 p.m. because of what I will share in a moment. Frank shared that after they drove for roughly 2 hours, Virginia needed to use the restroom, so they pulled into a shopping center in Belfast, Maine, located at the intersection of Main Route 3 and U.S. Route 1. They stopped at a store named Rennie's. At this point, they still had about an hour and a half of driving left to go. Rennie's is only located in Maine, and it's described as a department store, so it really seems like the type of store where they sell a little bit of everything. Virginia went into Rennie's to use the restroom around 5:30 p.m. She went into the building empty-handed, leaving behind her purse, cash, credit cards, and eye drops that she not only needed daily, but multiple times per day. Frank stayed in the vehicle for several minutes, but then decided to go into the store himself to purchase some paper cups and soda. When he left the car, he left a note in case Virginia came back to the car while he was in there and wondered where he was. The note read, "Jen, use the Heidi key. I've gone to get some stuff in the big store."
This whole situation is just, I'm confused by it.
Why?
First of all, she wasn't going to spend a whole lot of time in there. Couldn't he just wait and then go run in and grab soda and paper cups, which is a kind of an odd purchase anyway? Like,
yeah, I agree. How long is it going to take her to use the restroom? It makes sense to wait. Yeah.
And then I'm assuming the note is pretty clearly visible so that she could see it. So that someone could walk up to the car and see the person side and then see the note and realize there's a key that, you know, is hidden somewhere on the car, probably in the where the gas cap is.
Yeah, there's a limited number of places where that key could be. Right. So someone could probably find it pretty quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It just, this whole thing strikes me as weird.
I know. It's starting off weird here, but it only gets weirder. But to your point, I think we're thinking from the mindset of it's not wise to leave all your belongings in your car out in the open like that and leave a note like that. But maybe Frank was thinking this will be a really quick thing. I'll be in and out. I'll probably run into her inside the store and, you know, nobody's going to break into our car within a few minutes. When Frank went into the store, he didn't run into Virginia and he ventured back out to the car. He thought it was a little strange that she wasn't there, but he gave it about 15 minutes before he went back inside to see if he could find her. Frank was unable to locate Virginia inside Rennie's, even after asking for help from employees and other customers, so he called the police at about 6:45 p.m., and they arrived on the scene within minutes. As one would expect, the police questioned the employees at the store to determine if they saw Virginia. What they discovered was not very helpful. A couple of employees thought they saw someone matching her description around 5:30, but nothing could be confirmed. According to the Boston Globe, a few other people who were presumably customers in the store reported that they may have seen her too, but the times and circumstances didn't align across these people, so investigators felt that it was likely they were mistaken in what they saw. There was another witness who believed he saw someone matching Virginia's description walking west on Route 3 around 7:30 p.m., but this was also never confirmed to be Virginia. Alan Weaver, who was a Belfast police sergeant at the time working the case, said the sightings were difficult to verify because, quote, "this lady has a very common appearance," end quote. Which sounds a little rude, but I do understand the sentiment. You know, she didn't have any super distinguishing features, so I just think that made it difficult to put that much weight in the sightings. As I said earlier, Virginia and Frank stayed at a motel the night before, and a motel employee confirmed that Frank checked in around 11 p.m. the night before the disappearance. However, no one from the motel recalled seeing Frank and Virginia together when they checked in or out the following morning. No one recalled seeing Virginia at all. An employee at the restaurant they went to for breakfast, called Friendly's, recalled seeing Frank with 100% certainty, and she believed she saw him with a woman, but she was only about 75% sure it was Virginia. Now, I couldn't find very many pictures of Frank, but I did find one, and I immediately noticed in the photo that he has very large and dark eyebrows, they just really stand out, which seems kind of silly, right? But I can see why maybe if they're as prominent as they looked in that photo, why someone might remember Frank a little more easily to the point where they say, yeah, I'm 100% sure that was him, than say Virginia.
Yeah, like you said before, Virginia didn't really have, or the police sergeant said she didn't have really any distinguishing features, right? But having a huge set of eyebrows is definitely a memorable feature.
Yeah, yeah. So at this point, there's no one who can concretely say that Virginia was at any of the places Frank said she was. But again, relying on witness memories isn't not our best piece of evidence here. The area surrounding the store, including the woods behind the shopping center, were thoroughly searched by air and on foot, and search dogs were even brought in, but there was no sign of Virginia. They also went to local hospitals and shelters to see if somehow she ended up there, but that was not the case.
So this is really leading to she potentially wasn't even with Frank that day.
Potentially, right? Yeah. They even reached out to Frank's brother, who lived in Casco, Maine. He was reportedly the singular person they knew who lived in the state of Maine. But the brother lived about 2 hours from Belfast, and he didn't have any helpful information about Virginia. Frank, along with his son, who traveled to Maine from Florida, distributed missing person flyers in the area, and they drove back to some of the places Frank and Virginia stopped on the way to Maine in the event that Virginia returned there for some reason. Additionally, Frank hired a private investigator and his own team of search dogs to assist, and despite these efforts, there was no sign of Virginia anywhere. The Douglas car, a dark blue Oldsmobile Cutlass, remained in the parking lot in case Virginia eventually returned. The car would be familiar to her, which it seems unlikely at this point that Virginia is just going to materialize and come back to this car. Notes were left in the car that indicated they were looking for Virginia. The media started spreading the story pretty instantly, but there were no tips that came in that furthered the investigation. According to the Boston Globe, Frank said, quote, "I saw her step up on the walkway, heading into the store, and that's the last I've seen of her. I have no idea what's going on."
I would really like to know what Frank's behavior was like when the police were talking to him. Like, was he distraught or frantic, super concerned about where his wife was, or how was he reacting to the situation? Do you know?
Unfortunately, I didn't read much about Frank's behavior. It was more so around his actions. At least the day she disappeared, we'll learn a little bit more later, but at least on the day she disappeared, all I really know is what he did. And it seemed like his actions aligned with how someone would act in this situation.
Yeah, because he's the only one who's seen her in the last day and a half. Because the diner employees, they couldn't say with 100% certainty that they saw her in the diner that day. And the supermarket employees, they were of no help. They couldn't say.
Oh, the Rennie's employees?
Yeah, yeah. They couldn't say whether they saw her or not. So we're really relying on Frank's story here for all the details.
Right. That's where everything's coming from. And police initially stated that they didn't believe there's any reason to think foul play was involved in Virginia's disappearance. And Frank shared that between 20 and 25 years prior to her disappearance, the family was having some problems. Virginia got angry one day and left their home, and she stayed at the YWCA in New York for a few days. Then she returned. He claimed he didn't know what prompted her to do this, but I think the Belfast police chief, Robert Keating, shared this information with the public, but Frank and other family members didn't believe that Virginia had left like she did 20-something years ago. The reasoning for sharing this information was to quell concern among women in the area. The police didn't believe an abduction occurred. But I think the length of time here is interesting. It's not as if Virginia did this 6 months ago. That would be way more relevant. Something that happened 20 plus years ago carries less weight, in my eyes at least. In the statement police made where they shared this information about Virginia, they also said they were operating under two theories at that point. She either left of her own accord or she never made it to Maine at all. Something that struck police as peculiar was that Virginia and Frank would select this department store to make a bathroom stop and not just the McDonald's that was right by it. I think most people, when they take a road trip and need to use the restroom, would just stop at a fast food restaurant or a gas station or somewhere similar, somewhere convenient. And this was pointed out in a couple different articles, but of course it doesn't prove anything. It's just a little questionable. But Frank and his son said that Virginia preferred department store restrooms over fast food restrooms. When I first heard about this case and kind of got the Cliff Notes version of what happened here, I did wonder if because she was a little bit older, maybe there was a chance she got disoriented or wandered out of the store and got lost somehow. But her family described her as being clear-minded, having a good sense of direction, being in good health, and her children said she would never just get lost. And you do have to think, if she did get lost, there would probably be more credible sightings or someone would have helped her. Police learned a strange detail from one of the clerks who was working at Rennie's on the day of Virginia's disappearance. She indicated that when Frank was in the store at one point, he approached her and asked her for help in picking out undergarments for Virginia. He even asked what size she wore because he apparently didn't know Virginia's sizing and this woman was of a similar size. Frank explained that he couldn't find Virginia and he hoped this would be a good omen and that if he got her this gift, she would have to come back. One of the weirdest details in this case. Like, why would buying her lingerie suddenly summon her back to you? It makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm just at a loss for words.
So he purchased lingerie, but then he came back within an hour to purchase more lingerie of the same kind again. You may have noticed I said the police learned this from the clerk at Rennie's, not from Frank. He did not offer this information. It was only when the police asked him about it that he confirmed that he did do that. And I think when someone goes missing, I don't know, maybe Frank thought, what does that have to do with anything? But when someone goes missing, I think these kinds of details are important. You have to share every little thing you know, and he didn't share that. Frank and Virginia's son later came out to sort of explain this. He said that his dad often bought undergarments for Virginia and their daughters. However, the daughter said this was untrue. And I would add that if he frequently made these kinds of purchases for her, for Virginia, he wouldn't need to ask the clerk what size she wore.
Right. Also, why is the son aware of this information?
No idea. Yeah, it doesn't seem like something he would be privy to.
Yeah.
And the timing of this purchase, these purchases, just makes no sense. And, you know, Frank's son or Frank and Virginia's son also said that it might seem peculiar, but who's to say what any of us would do in a situation like that? And sure, I don't know what I would do in this situation, but I know what I think I would do, and I certainly wouldn't do what Frank did. Even stranger was that when they looked at the contents of Virginia's suitcase, they discovered that Frank had put these newly purchased items in the suitcase, but there were no other undergarments inside, yet everything else was packed.
This is just getting stranger by the minute.
I know, and I kind of think I know what happened here.
Okay.
But I mean, who would leave behind undergarments for a weekend trip? How do you remember everything else but forget the one thing that people usually overpack?
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem likely to me. And speaking of their daughters, the elder daughter learned of Virginia's disappearance after she received a phone call from the police who alerted her about the situation. She then shared the news with her younger sister, who lived in the home with her parents. The younger daughter was a flight attendant, so she was not always home on a standard schedule. She was supposed to arrive home at around 9:30 or 10 p.m. the night Virginia and Frank went off on this trip to Bar Harbor. So because Frank said they left at 8:30 p.m., they didn't have the opportunity to cross paths, and the daughter didn't understand why Frank didn't tell them about Virginia's disappearance.
Yeah, that's another bizarre fact or detail that's been brought up. Why? If I was in Frank's shoes, I would want to keep the entire family in the loop. Not just my son. I would want my daughters to know too that mom's gone. I can't find her.
Especially the daughter who lives in the house. I understand he didn't have a relationship with the elder daughter. Okay, maybe you don't tell her right away. You assume that one of your other kids will, but to not bring the daughter who lived in the home in the loop, call her, you know, get in touch with her, that is bizarre.
Yeah, well, whatever relationship they have, I think
you should tell.
I think the situation trumps whatever prior, you know, relationship status that they had, communication status. I think this would trump that.
Yeah, you would think so. So when the daughter who lived with them got to the house on the Monday after Virginia disappeared, she made several observations. According to the Charlie Project, she noticed right away that all of the blinds were wide open and that the fridge was fully stocked with groceries. It was uncharacteristic of Virginia to leave the home this way when they took trips. Now, you could argue that, okay, maybe the fridge was stocked because this was an impromptu trip and they didn't have time to eat all the food, but it doesn't take long to simply close your blinds before you leave. I think most people close their blinds before vacationing because you don't want just anyone to be able to see inside your house and to see that it's unoccupied. She made a couple of other observations in the home that prompted her to call the Lexington Police Department. Police searched the home without a warrant, which means that Frank consented to the search. They found a bloodstained section of carpet they seized, as well as clumps of hair from a door jamb or on the back door steps. Sources differ on exactly where the hair was found. Maybe it was in both places.
I feel like the story's taken a turn in that it's not looking great for Frank.
Not looking great, and it just keeps getting a little bit worse with each detail I share with you. And the blood was determined to match Virginia's blood type. So, of course, like you said, this doesn't look good. But something I was curious about was how much blood was there, because I would think that's a relevant detail. If it were a tiny spot of blood, then that means less to me. But if it were a pretty big blood stain, then I feel like Frank should have been able to provide an explanation. As far as I could find, Frank, who obtained legal counsel early on, never addressed the blood or hair found in the home. The hair in itself isn't that strange. Rather, the location seems concerning. How does a person's hair end up in a door jamb or on the back steps of their home? The house was searched for a second time several weeks after Virginia vanished, but few details were released about that search. The daughter who lived at home moved out almost right away, and she went to live with her sister. I can imagine the scene she found in the house was concerning to her. At that point, she cut ties with Frank completely. Although she did attempt to return to the house a few months later to get a couple items she had left behind, Frank had already changed the locks.
Okay, so from an outside perspective, there has to be something more going on that we don't know. Like, to cut off communication from your dad when your mom goes missing, I would think you'd want to be there more for him and not completely just cut off all communication from him and cut him out of your life. And it sounds like it was going both ways because Frank changed the locks.
Yes, I think maybe from Frank's side, it was kind of a response to the daughter's reaction. But I see what you're saying. I'll give you a little more information here in a minute that might help understand the situation. But yeah, I definitely think it seems like the daughter's, well, one, the scene the younger one found was confusing and concerning. But it seems like they have some serious concerns about what happened to Virginia. And beyond the strange scene at the house, the daughters explained that a spontaneous vacation like this was totally out of character for both Frank and Virginia, as they were both described as being meticulous and they would plan ahead if they were going to take a trip. The daughters also said that she wouldn't have left the state without notifying anyone. Their brother, on the other hand, claimed that spontaneous trips were a common occurrence for them. Everything about this disappearance and this supposed vacation is unusual. And the younger one said that her mom always liked to be there when she got home. So, like I said, she was supposed to get home later that night when Virginia and Frank left the home. So it was a little out of character for her not to be there to welcome her. The Maine and Lexington police searched Frank and Virginia's car, the Oldsmobile, for about 2 hours. They combed through the interior and the trunk and even checked under the hood. Some items were removed from the car for further examination, but to the best of my knowledge, nothing from the car held much value in this case. Police needed to further examine the relationship between Virginia and Frank. Frank reported to the Boston Globe that he and Virginia were truly the best of friends and that he made her breakfast in bed each day. But almost in that same breath, he said that Virginia had, quote, emotional swings that are very abrupt. It doesn't take her but a few minutes to go from being happy to being depressed, but within 15 minutes, she'll be in good spirits again, end quote. This comment just seems kind of unnecessary to put out there. I mean, how did that help the investigation by saying that? I wondered if he wanted to imply that maybe she stormed off that day, but he also said that she was in good spirits all day, and he didn't think there was any reason that she would have been upset and ran off.
Yeah, she could have been in good spirits that day, but he probably threw that nugget in there that her mood can change abruptly and rapidly.
Exactly. Yeah, that's probably what it was. He's probably trying to, or he could have been trying to plant a seed there. No one thinks Virginia left of her own volition. She left her purse and eye medication, like I said, so she couldn't have gotten very far without those two items. Frank went on to say that Virginia had bouts of depression sometimes and it had gotten worse in the months leading up to her disappearance, although I couldn't find any statements from other people in Virginia's life who corroborated this behavior. To the contrary of what Frank said, one of their daughters said Frank didn't appear to have very much respect for her. Friends of Virginia observed that Frank was always on the go, playing tennis and skiing, but Virginia was cut off from that aspect of his life. Virginia's sister spoke with her about a week before she disappeared, and Virginia confided in her that she was bothered by Frank's absence. She felt that Frank didn't spend time with her, and all she did was cook for him and say goodbye when he left to play tennis. Frank retired 5 years before Virginia disappeared, and I tend to think of couples who are retired as getting to soak up that time together, but that didn't seem to be the case with Virginia and Frank. Sadly, Virginia's daughters assumed their mother was dead very shortly after they learned of what happened. They couldn't think of any scenario where she would still be alive and out there and wouldn't have reached out to them. In 1988, the eldest daughter said she didn't believe her mother was ever in that store and that she knew who killed her mother, but she wouldn't declare who that was due to legal reasons. A few months after Virginia disappeared, a memorial service was held for her in Florida, which Frank did not attend, and neither did their son. The eldest daughter said, quote, "We know that her mother is not alive and that she is not going to be found. We are unable to do her the honor of giving her a dignified funeral, so we are doing the next best thing. Hopefully, it will be the start of the healing process," end quote. About a year after Virginia disappeared, the Maine State Police led an expansive search over the course of 2 days in the woods surrounding Sebago Lake in relation to Virginia's disappearance. Sebago Lake is about a 2.5 hour drive from Belfast, where Virginia was last known to be. And interestingly enough, it's just a short drive from Casco, the town where Frank's brother lived. This search was prompted by new information investigators received in the weeks that led up to it, but they, of course, withheld what that information was from the public. Tracking dogs were used in the search, and although the search seemed promising, nothing was found that indicated Virginia's presence. I would love to know what this tip was. Who could have possibly had information about Virginia possibly being there? I also wonder what specific area they were searching in. It could be like finding a needle in a haystack, considering Sebago Lake is the second largest lake in the state of Maine. It took 3 years, but finally in 1991, police officially announced Frank as a suspect in Virginia's disappearance. Virginia was classified as a missing person, still not murdered, but Lexington Police Lieutenant Stephen Corr said that he was operating under the belief that she was deceased. Police said that they were never able to prove or disprove if Virginia made it to Maine, but but that there was nothing to convince them that she made it there. Once Frank was named as a suspect, the eldest daughter got a little more descriptive about what she thought happened, and although Frank denied any involvement, this is what she said. Quote, "No one believes the death of Ginny Douglas was planned. Rather, most people think what happened was an accident. When he realized what he had done, he panicked, carelessly disposed of the body, and concocted a ridiculous story that fooled no one, not the police, family, and friends, not even total strangers," end quote. So does this clear things up a little bit for you on the relationship? I mean, if this is what they believe happened to their dad, why would they have a relationship with him?
Yeah, yeah. In that respect, yeah, it does clear that up.
It's a pretty bold statement to make. I think in all the cases we've covered, I've never heard anyone say anything like that. It's always telling to me in cases like this when one of the children comes forward to say that they think their parent could be capable of killing someone, whether it's another family member or someone else, because these are the people who know their family member intimately. And if they are able to get to a point in their mind where they believe that person's capable of murder, it has to mean something. I think more often you see people in denial about their family member, but in this case, it's quite the opposite. Although Virginia and Frank's daughters spoke out against Frank, their son seemed to still support his dad, and he did not share the same feelings as his sisters.
Yeah, I'm thinking this could have all started when Frank accidentally locked her out, which I'm assuming he provided that information.
He did, yes.
So you said she got furious with him once she was let back inside. Maybe they got into a big fight and things got out of hand and things took a turn for the worse. And then he, you know, fabricated the entire story of treating her to a vacation.
Yeah, I think that would align, that theory would align with what the daughters have said, where this was an accident, because I don't think they mean accident in the sense of Virginia, you know, had a medical incident and Frank covered it up. I think it's more so along the lines of what you're talking about.
Yeah, because they knew, or he knew at least, that the daughter that was living with them was going to be home that night. Couple that with the fact that they're starting a 4-hour drive at 8:30 p.m.
Exactly, yeah.
So he knew he had to get out of there. And I guess that's where the whole story fabrication begins.
Yeah, if he's responsible here, and we don't know if he is, but if he is, I think that makes sense. And they say, you know, there's a little bit of truth in every lie. Well, it would make sense to start this story out with truth, the story that Frank ultimately provided. Maybe that fight actually did happen. So that would be easy to remember if that were the case. And then going back to the undergarments. So if he is responsible here and he packed a suitcase hurriedly, I can imagine him forgetting Virginia's undergarments and realizing that at some point. And then I don't think he counted on the clerk necessarily saying something to the police. And then he could have asked her what size she wore, because maybe he genuinely didn't know what size Virginia wore. And he knew if he bought something of the wrong size, that would look bizarre. So that's a theory here. I think it makes a lot of sense. That would explain that whole incident. But again, we really don't know. And Frank never opened his mouth, as far as we know, to say anything to anyone. Sergeant Weaver, who I mentioned earlier, remarked that after the weekend Virginia went missing, Frank never went back to Belfast, and he said that he never called the police to check up on this case. And all the years after, the only time he called the police was to tell them when he was back home. That is extremely uncharacteristic of someone who has had a loved one go missing, especially their spouse. Most people are on the investigators' backs about making progress. So Frank never checking in with the police about her disappearance is almost more telling to me than anything else. This was your wife of 46 years. She disappeared, and you don't care to follow up on where the police are with the case, any traction they've made. He couldn't even feign interest. The reality is Virginia didn't disappear. Something happened to her, and we will likely never know what that was, because the one person who might have had that information and who was a suspect in this case is now deceased. And there have been virtually no updates about Virginia's case in many years. If you have information related to the disappearance of Virginia Douglas, please contact the Belfast Maine Police Department at 207-338-2420 or the Lexington, Massachusetts Police Department at 781-862-1212. Thank you all for joining us today, and we will be back next week with a new case. Bye.
Bye.